Father, I pray for the needs represented in this house today, the needs of each person, each family represented. Lord, for some, it's a financial need, and we're asking you, God, to give us in this season all that we need. And Lord, even in the prayer, there's an emphasis on not worrying about tomorrow, not worrying about the next season, but focusing on the present. Give us this day, Lord, in this season, that which we need. And Lord, we pray for those who need a touch of healing in their bodies. Would you bring healing, bring breakthrough? Lord, for some who may be struggling in a marriage or struggling with their children, we pray for breakthrough. We pray for reconciliation. Lord, for children who may not be serving you, we pray, God, that you will draw them back into your family, back into your kingdom. Lord, for those who are facing some difficult work situations, Lord, we pray for divine solutions. Lord, we pray that you will give wisdom. Lord, I thank you. I thank you, God, that you hear our prayers. Oh, I thank you, God, you are faithful. You are faithful to hear our petitions. You are faithful to move heaven and earth to bring your answers. We're so thankful. We're so thankful. You may be seated. The next part may be one of the more challenging parts to work through, and that is forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. So here we're praying for forgiveness, and we're praying to be able to forgive others, and the two are very closely connected. So I would suggest that when we move into this part of the Lord's Prayer, that we just look back over the last, 24 hours or so. God, is there anything I need to repent of? Is there anything I said, did, thought, just bad attitude? Is there anything you want me to just release to you? Psalm 139, 23 and 24 says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties, and see if there is any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." And as God reveals things to you, then just release them to him. Confess them to him. Psalm 32:5, "I acknowledged my sin to you, and my iniquity I have not hidden. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin." I love the way 1 John 1:9 words it. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And a part of this is receiving the forgiveness. A part of it is releasing the guilt and the shame and the condemnation and realizing if God forgives me, then I need to forgive me. If God cleanses me, then I need to let it go and not allow the enemy to keep me feeling guilty, feeling shamed, and so forth, but that we receive that. And I love that because notice that not only does he forgive us, but he cleanses us. I think that's taking it to another level, that he doesn't just wipe it out, but he changes us. He changes our heart. And then the part that may be the most challenging is then going on to forgive others who have wronged us. I mean, think about it. How can I ask forgiveness and then hang on to unforgiveness toward others? And the two are linked. In Ephesians 4:32, it says, "And be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another." How? "Just as God in Christ forgave you." So just like we've just prayed for forgiveness and receive it, now we're obligated to extend forgiveness to those who have wronged us. And you might think, well, that just doesn't seem fair. And you're right. But is it fair that God forgives us when all we do is ask? I mean, is that fair to him? Is that fair that Jesus had to go to the cross to make that possible? And one thing I think we probably all are convinced of, and that is that I will never have to forgive anybody else more than God has already forgiven me. So that's the least I could do. It tells us in Colossians 3:13, "Bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do." So at this part of your prayer, you're just like, okay, God, is there anybody I haven't forgiven yet? And by the way, often forgiveness is a process. Often you'll forgive, you'll choose to forgive, you'll feel pretty good about it, and then later it'll creep back, or they do something else. And you got to kind of, okay, I got to regroup and walk this out again. It's a process. And the last thing I'll say about this is a wonderful time to say, God, I'm just going to live this way. So, God, whoever wrongs me today, I'm deciding before it even happens, I'm going to let it go right away. I'm not going to hang on to it. I'm not going to hang on to pain. I'm not going to feed it. I'm not going to become bitter. But God, I'm choosing this as a lifestyle with your help, a lifestyle of forgiveness. I'm going to live out Matthew 5:44, which says, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who despitefully use you and persecute you. What if we decide ahead of time, this is how I'm going to live? As soon as somebody curses us, our response, instead of fighting back, is I'm going to bless them. I'm going to look for a way to be nice to them. I'm going to right away pray for them. This is how God is wanting you and I to live. So I'm going to ask the worship team to lead us again. Would you stand with me? And let's, during this time, just ask for God to forgive you for anything he brings to your heart. And then after that, then declare forgiveness if there's anybody you realize you haven't yet fully forgiven.
Everyone needs compassion, a love that's never failing. Let mercy fall on me. Everyone.
Sorry, let's try that again. Here we go.
We forgive you.
My finger's on the wrong fret.
Everyone needs compassion, a love that's never failing.
forgiveness for, and then extend forgiveness to those who have wronged you. Father, we ask you to once again wash us clean by the blood of Jesus. Lord, any sins we've committed, Lord, any harsh words, any wrong attitudes, Lord, any ways in which we disobeyed you, maybe even things we didn't do that you told us to do, whatever it is, God, we ask for your forgiveness. And Lord, we are so grateful for your mercy and your grace to forgive us. Lord, we receive your cleansing. Lord, go to the very root and purify our hearts today. Wash our minds clean today. Thank you, God, that your word says you remember our sins no more. Oh, how wonderful that is. That you don't hold our sins against us, but you remove them from the records. Oh, thank you for that. Lord, we just release guilt and shame and condemnation. We release that, and in place of it, we receive your peace. And Lord, we now extend that same thing to others. Lord, we've all been hurt by others, but Lord, we let it go. We just choose now to forgive. For God, we pray a blessing on those who have wronged us. We ask you, God, to work in their lives. We ask you, God, to bless them and their households. Lord, we know we can only do this as you empower us. We can only do this through your forgiveness that we've experienced. So help us, God, to live this way. Lord, as we go about this week, we decide we're gonna forgive anybody who wrongs us this week. Lord, as soon as somebody wrongs us, we're going to release it to you. We're going to pray a blessing on them. We're going to look for a way to do good. We're going to pray for them. Oh, help us to live this out every day. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. All right, you may be seated. This next part is perhaps one of the ones we tend to, at least many of us, maybe gloss over and maybe not take as much time. And, you know, maybe we're right at the end of the Lord's Prayer and we got to quick move on with our day. But it says, do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Some translations say deliver us from evil. Some say deliver us from the evil one. They're both applicable because they're connected. But here what we're doing is we're praying for strength to resist temptation, and we're praying for deliverance from whatever evil we are encountering in our life. And the first part of that is praying, God, today as I go throughout my day, there will likely be temptations that will come, but give me the strength to resist those temptations. We've just prayed for forgiveness, so we're clean. Now we want to stay that way. And so we're just praying that whatever we face, we're going to have the strength. And 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, no temptation has overtaken you except as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way to escape that you may be able to bear it. So whatever temptation comes your way, God is basically saying, you can handle this. If you will trust in me, you can resist this. And by the way, I would encourage you that at this part in the Lord's Prayer, be open for God to speak to you about developing appropriate standards and boundaries in your life. Maybe there's an area where you know you're weak, you're vulnerable. Well, maybe you need some extra boundaries around that area of your life. Maybe you need to raise the standards because you realize that that's an area where you're weak, where you trip up, and so maybe you need to put some protective measures in place in that particular area. The second part of that prayer is exercising our spiritual authority over the evil one's attack in our life. John 10:10 says the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Your job is to keep that from happening. Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. But the interesting thing about this part of the Lord's Prayer is it's on us. God's saying, that I've given you the authority. Now you've got to exercise that authority. Here's Luke 10:19. Behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. Nothing shall by any means hurt you. So if you're sitting around waiting for God to do it, God may be saying, I've given you the authority. I'll help you. I'll back you. But you got to walk this one out. Sometimes we face things or we get kind of chewed up a bit because we just don't stand up and exercise our authority. Ephesians 6:10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. How do we do that? Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication. So I believe God's quickening this into some of you just saying, hey, you've not held your ground. You've kind of just rolled over. Well, if I don't bother him, he won't bother me. But he doesn't play that way. He plays dirty. He plays mean. But you've been given authority. You've been given the weapons of warfare. You've been given the armor of God to protect you, protect your family. But you've got to use it and hold your ground. It tells us in 1 Peter 5:8-9 that the devil goes around as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. But notice what we're to do. Resist him steadfast in the faith. So let's stand and let's sing another song. And as we do, get ready to use the spiritual weapons that God's given you. As you look at your life, your family, maybe you see an area, wow, the enemy's gotten a foothold in there, and I'm going to get rid of him. I'm going to command him in the name of Jesus to go. I'm going to exercise my authority. So let's do that as we sing this next song. deliver us from evil. God, lead us not into temptation. Lord, I pray that this week, every temptation we face, we will trust in your power within us to enable us, God, to resist every temptation that comes our way. And Lord, I just pray that every way the thief has come to steal, kill, and destroy, Lord, we exercise the authority in Christ that you have given us. We hold our ground. We command the enemy to flee in the name of Jesus. Lord, wherever the devil has gotten a foothold, we command him to go in the name of Jesus. Leave our finances alone. Leave our health alone. Leave our families alone in the name of Jesus. Oh, in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you have given us armor to stand against the wiles of the devil, to overcome. Oh, we thank you for that, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for all that you have given us, Lord, to resist, to overcome. Thank you, Lord. We declare the enemies under our feet. Oh, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. All right, you may be seated. We're on the last leg of the race here. It ends the same way kind of that it begins, and that is, for yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. So notice we start with a God focus. We end with a God focus. We don't kind of leave with the problem focus. We leave with the solution focus. And so here we're basically praising God by declaring his sovereignty. We leave by saying he's in control. He's got this. We've just prayed. We can trust that he's able to do it. And he's moving heaven and earth now to walk out the very things that we have prayed and declared. And we can thank him for hearing our prayers. We thank him that things are going to change because we prayed, because he's heard us. And so we thank him. The word amen, as probably a lot of you know, means so be it. It's sort of ending with it is done. I agree. God has heard me. It's going to happen. Now I want to say something here that I know we've all blown it at times, but listen carefully. After praying, bring your thinking and talking in alignment with what you just prayed. Let me read that again. After praying, bring your thinking and talking in alignment with what you just prayed. And if you do not do that, it's literally possible to let your words negate the very thing you just prayed. I mean, think about it. What sense does it make to pray something, to ask God to do something, to put your faith there, and then go talk the opposite? I mean, really, if we do that, we must not have had much faith that what we prayed for is really going to happen. So, you know, there's all kinds of people are getting the flu and getting really sick, and you pray, God, protect me, protect my family, keep us from getting the flu, and then a couple hours later, you're talking to somebody, yeah, I suppose we'll get the flu that's going around. Well, that's a lot of faith in your prayer. Or what about, this one maybe hits close to home at times, you know, what about you just prayed for, you know, leadership in government, whether it be locally, nationally, or whatever, and God give them wisdom, and God help them to lead wisely, and God bring unity to our nation, and then not long later you're complaining about the world and how messed up it is and how bad it is and how terrible all of our leadership is. And well, you must not have agreed with your own prayer then. So I know we all catch ourselves violating that, but I just want to encourage you. Catch, you know, let the Holy Spirit. Wait a minute. You just prayed something different than what you just declared, and be quick to say, "Whoa, I repent of that. I'm going to pray that prayer again." And you know, what if somebody else brings it up? Say, "Hey, you know, I'm praying for this. Let me just lead us in prayer right now." So I really want to encourage you. After praying, live in alignment with what you just prayed. Hebrews 4:14, and you can stand with me. Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God. Here it is. Let us hold fast our confession. Hebrews 10:23. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. So let's end here today by praising God, declaring his sovereignty over our life, over our world. Let's thank him that he's heard our prayers today, that literally our prayers have changed history. Our prayers have changed the course of our life. And in a few minutes when we walk out of this place, let's decide. I'm going to talk in alignment with what I have been praying today. And so, worship team, lead us in this last song, please. yours. The glory is yours. The power is yours. We declare you are King of Kings. You are Lord of Lords. You reign. We thank you, God, that you have it in your control. God, we thank you, Lord, that you are going to bring about your purposes. And Lord, as we go from this place today, we thank you that you've heard our prayers. We thank you, God, that we're going to see you at work in our lives this week. Oh, I thank you, God, that we are going to seek your face every day. I thank you, God, we're going to have that time of prayer. We're going to pray throughout our day. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that you are working in this day and hour. I thank you, Lord, you're going to use every one of us in our context. Going to use us, Lord, to bring a greater expression of your kingdom into our areas of influence. I thank you, Lord. Oh, I thank you, God, for hearing us today. I thank you, Lord, you're drawing us into a deeper walk with you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Oh, I thank you, Lord. We're going to walk in victory today. I thank you, God, this week no weapon formed against us will prosper. I thank you, God, this week we are more than conquerors through Jesus Christ. Oh, I thank you, Lord. We can pray. Lord, when something comes up this week, Lord, that may cause us anxiety, we can pray and have your peace come. Oh, I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. You have equipped us with all that we need, Lord, to live an overcoming walk. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Oh, in Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen, amen. So be it. And as you go this week, speak in agreement with the things you prayed. I'm going to ask the prayer team serving today to come to the front before you go. If you want prayer, we'll have a team or two or three up here, and they'd be happy to pray with you. So thank you for being here today. And this week, keep pressing in to prayer. God bless you.